Locked On Jets podcast here on Tuesday, March 5th, 2019. I'm John B. from gangrenenation.com. Of course, the free agency period is almost here, and joining us today is my good friend Mike Nania from Gangrene Nation. He's been doing great series on potential free agents for the Jets. Today, we're going to focus on the defensive side of the ball. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me back on. Only 1 week to go until we finally get into this, and I'm ready to stop speculating and figure out who I actually have to be positive about for the Jets.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it really snuck up on me. I didn't even realize it was like 1 week ago till 1 week to go till yesterday, and then I thought about it, and I was like, wow, that's so fast. And then I thought it through, and I'm like, well, I guess we've been in the offseason for like 2 months now, so I guess it really probably should get here soon.
Yeah, definitely. You know, as Jets fans, our off seasons tend to be longer than most other teams. So we've been here for a while since January, but we're used to that. But I'm ready for to free agency finally get here. It should be interesting.
So this is kind of the fun time of the year to do a podcast because there's so much information out there. You know, there's so much happening, but it's also kind of a rough time of the year to do the podcast because obviously we're recording and things can happen suddenly. And sometimes you'll listen to a show and the information will not be relevant to you anymore because some news has broken that the team's made a move or some other team's made a move. So hopefully by the time you listen to the show, this will not be all be rendered obsolete by some sort of, franchise tag or some sort of other transaction out there, but we are going to talk about the defensive side of the ball. So, Michael, who are some of the guys you have looking at the position that's a chronic problem for the Jets, edge rusher?
Yeah, well, edge is really interesting. And, you know, like you said, there was a lot of news today at that position. A few franchise tags were put out there, and that's been because there are a lot of really good names that are seeing their contracts expire this offseason, but we've assumed for a while that most of those guys weren't going to hit the market. And today really, most of that skepticism was confirmed. DeMarcus Lawrence got tagged, but he could actually, I'm pretty sure he's going to be holding out, so he could eventually be traded or let go. Dee Ford got tagged, but he also might be traded also. So the guys that we expected to get tagged did get tagged today. So those two guys, Frank Clark was tagged by Seattle. So most of the guys we expected to get the tag did get it, but it seems like now that Lawrence and Ford in particular might be more available than it seemed like they're going to be. And those two guys probably are, you look at Trey Flowers is probably your number one guy who seems like he is going to be on the open market. And Justin Houston, it was reported today that he was cut, then it was refuted. So we'll see if he does become available. But Lawrence and Ford are probably the two guys who would overtake the top spots among the edge rushers on the open market if they were available. But with them getting tagged, and now being potentially on the trade market, it'll be interesting to see how available those two guys are since they did get the tag today. But for Ford, they're saying that the Chiefs don't think he's a scheme fit, so they're going to look to tag and trade him. And for Lawrence, he would probably be the clear-cut number one overall free agent at any position if he were available. It doesn't seem like he wants to sign that tag, so that could be a saga that drags out for a really long time. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those two guys. But on the open market, definitely Trey Flowers, I think, is the top guy as of right now. You're talking about a guy who hasn't put up huge sack numbers in New England, but his pressure numbers are always really good. He's a great run defender. He's been pretty durable. He's been great in the playoffs. He's got some of the best playoff production out of anybody over the past decade plus. He's versatile. He can line up inside, outside, either side of the formation. So he's definitely my number one target. And as of right now, I think he's in his own tier as the number one edge guy. Dante Fowler is out there, but he's probably going to be way overpaid. His production just has been really disappointing. So I think Flowers is alone in the top tier right now, but it'll be interesting to see if Lawrence and Ford are more available through trade than we thought they would be.
All right. I'm going to rain on everybody's parade and say I'll believe it when I see it in terms of those top two guys, because I don't see these teams giving up quality pass rushers. So let's talk a little bit about Flowers, and I'll ask you the question that I think everybody always asks me about him. How worried are you that he leaves New England and is not productive?
Yeah, and it definitely is a legitimate concern with most New England free agents. You're talking about one of the most sustained dynasties in the history of sports, and in this present day where it's harder to do that than ever, and the league is designed to be hard to do that because Belichick is such a great coach. They've got such an established system, and we've seen so many free agents come out of New England. Players who were good for the Patriots, productive for the Patriots, go elsewhere and really struggle to live up to the big money contracts that they got. But I do think there have been some exceptions to this in recent years. So I really think you look at Chandler Jones has done great outside New England, and there are a few other examples, but I do think Flowers has the potential to join Jones and be one of those guys that leaves New England and does really well, because I think what he does well is just independent of scheme. And yeah, the Patriots do a tremendous job scheming up that defense. We saw it throughout the whole playoffs and in the Super Bowl, but I think Flowers is just a good enough player to succeed anywhere. I talked about his versatility. He lines up on either side, inside, outside. I just think he's a really good technician. He knows he has a really good array of pass rush moves. He's instinctive in the run game. I think he's good enough to thrive in any scheme with any team. And maybe I'll be wrong, because there is a track record, like we said, of guys failing to succeed outside New England after having success there. So it's definitely a concern, but especially in the Jets position, I just don't think that it's enough of a concern to make them kind of stay away from him, because there aren't really any other good solutions out there. So they have all this cap space. I think Flowers, even if he is the most expensive option, is still probably the best value out there for the Jets with such a huge need at the edge rusher spot. So I'm pretty confident that he's going to succeed wherever else he goes, even though his production isn't great and the New England thing. Those are legit concerns, but I do think that he's talented enough to get it done anywhere.
All right, now let's dive a little bit deeper. And, you know, I say this with a lot of respect is, you know, like I could tell anybody, you know, D Ford's would have been a good option. I could tell anybody, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence would be a good option. But you've done a lot of deep dives on guys a little deeper in the free agency pool. So who are some of the second tier options behind Flowers?
Yeah, so the two top guys that I think would be beyond Flowers, that are good values beyond his tier, would probably be the two Smiths, Preston Smith from the Redskins and Za'Darius Smith from the Ravens, and they're two pretty different players. Preston Smith is more of an athletic outside linebacker who drops into coverage a lot, and Za'Darius Smith is more of a gritty three-technique, five-technique defensive end who gets his pressures with his hand in the dirt. But their production is pretty similar. Both of them have given their respective teams about 7-8 sacks a year, pretty gritty run defense, strong, consistent run defense, just guys who aren't going to light up the sack board year in, year out, or make any Pro Bowls, but guys who are good, solid, above-average players, and both of them are heading into their prime and just had breakout years in over the last couple of years. So I think those two guys, and again, like this is the second tier of the market, and like we said, because they're good, solid, productive players, they could get a lot of money just because any competent player in the open market is going to get paid because of the certainty that they bring to the table. So they could end up being not-so-great values if they end up getting $12, $13 million a year just because they've been solid so far, but they are, if the Jets do miss out on Flowers and they really feel like they need to get somebody in there that they can be confident in being an upgrade, being a solid player for them, because this is a need for this team. As, you know, even though Brandon Copeland got his 5 sacks last year, Jordan Jenkins broke out 7, and those guys were surprisingly solid last year, it's still one of the bottom-tier edge rusher groups in the league. So if the Jets do feel like that they have to get an upgrade, then Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith, I think, both could be an interesting option. You could put Za'Darius Smith at defensive end. Preston Smith could play weak side outside linebacker. So either one could be an option, but it'll be interesting to see how inflated their prices get, because especially, like I said, Flowers is probably your only tier one guy in this market. So the second tier, the second wave of guys who are, you know, decent, solid upside players, but not established stars, those guys could be overpaid a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see where their price tags fall. And it is probably going to be pretty expensive to pick up these guys because of their proven solid track record, even if not excellent. But both Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith are pretty interesting. And one guy I mentioned earlier who probably is going to get a second-tier salary, but I'm really wary of, is Dante Fowler. And, you know, he has the draft pedigree, the talent's obviously there, and he makes a lot of splash plays. He forces fumbles. He gets those strip sacks. He's been really productive in the playoffs both of the last 2 years with Jacksonville and then the Rams this past year. But his overall production is just really not that impressive at all. And this is a guy who's played with great defensive lines in Jacksonville and with the Rams and still hasn't been productive at all. He went over to the Rams this past season and in about half the season playing most of their defensive snaps. I'm pretty sure he played about 80% of their snaps on average after going over to the Rams. He only had 2 sacks over the final half of the season, and his quarterback knockdowns too have also been single digits every single year. So it's not even like he's a pressure machine who's just not getting the sacks. he doesn't get that much pressure either. So I'd be really wary of Fowler. I think he's Fowler. I think he's going to get overpaid because of his draft pedigree, but it'll be interesting to see. He is young, and like I said, he's made plays in the playoffs, so there are reasons to be, you know, to rationalize it. But I just think that whoever pays him is making a mistake.
Here with Michael Nania talking about free agents as the Jets approach a big offseason, plenty of cap space. So let's move on from edge rusher. Who are some of the other guys you have your eye on potentially for the Jets?
Yeah, so on the defensive side, and it's interesting because this offseason is going to be all about offense. It's what we've wanted the whole time. They got to fix the O-line, maybe get Darnold some weapons. Maybe they'll chase Bell. So it's definitely going to be an offense focused off season, I would think. But on the defensive side, there are still needs. You know, they're pretty much set at safety and inside linebacker. You probably don't think they're going to make any moves, but cornerback is quietly a need for this team. They're stuck with Trumaine Johnson this year, but he was pretty bad last year and he's out there and he missed six games too. So health is a concern with him. He didn't play well. Buster Screen is a free agent. Morris Claiborne is a free agent. So they're going to have to fill that slot corner spot and the starting outside spot of Sid Johnson. So the cornerback market is pretty thin, but there are two guys at the top that I think are pretty good options if the Jets do decide to go there. Because, and you brought this up on the site earlier, that, you know, if the Jets do get Bell, they do spend big on the offensive line and get a top pass rusher, they probably aren't going to be able to make a play for the top names at the corner position. But there are a couple of good names at the top of that group, even though it's really not deep. There are a couple of guys at the top who are pretty interesting. So outside, Ronald Darby is the clear number one guy. He's had injury issues the past couple of years. He's only played 17 games over the past regular seasons. But this is a guy who, since he entered the league, leads the entire NFL in passes defended per game. So he's a playmaker. He's only 25 years old. Very athletic guy. He's a classic, like I said, playmaker. He's going to get burned sometimes, but he's going to make a lot of plays on the football. And he's been a solid top 20-ish kind of corner when out there. And he's going to be a perfect fit in this Greg Williams defense. And we're assuming that Williams is going to be the same kind of coordinator he's been known to be. Blitz a lot, rely on these corners to thrive in press coverage and be able to cover at the line. Darby would be a great fit with that. But injuries are a question with him. And overall, he hasn't been as good as he's going to get paid, if he's going to be a top 10 paid corner. He hasn't played at that level yet, so it does remind you of Trumaine Johnson, but Darby is a lot younger, a lot more athletic, and I do think that he is, I would say he's a better player than Trumaine Johnson was coming to the Jets. So Darby would be interesting if the Jets do have the money to compete in that market. And then at the slot spot, the number one guy would be Bryce Callahan from Chicago. So Callahan also has injury questions. His career high for games played is only 13, which he played last year, and he's also going to be 28 years old, so a little bit up there in age, but he was really good last season for the Bears. His numbers and coverage across the board were great. His passer rating allowed, his coverage snaps for reception allowed, just his yards allowed for cover snap across the board. He's really productive out of the slot last season. One of the best, if not the best, slot corner in the league. So he also didn't have a penalty in coverage last year. So Callahan's one of the best slot corners in the league, or at least he was last season. And he's definitely the number one option for that position. And his market value, because slot corners don't get paid as much as outside corners do, even though you'd expect that number to rise more as that position really becomes a starting position in the league as 11 personnel becomes the main base. Teams adjust on defense. Slot corners are playing a lot. It's basically a starting position, but his spot track value is only $7 million per year. So that's an affordable price. So the injuries are there for Callahan, but you sign him, he's definitely an upgrade over Buster Screen. So he could probably be had in addition to a few top-tier guys, whether it's Bell, an offensive lineman, whoever else they get. So I think Callahan would be interesting. I think the Jets could have a realistic shot at him.
Yeah, and like you said, when you talk about the needs on this team, the first thing that doesn't pop into your head is corner. But let's just play devil's advocate for a second. Let's say Trumaine Johnson has a bounce-back season. Even if you're counting on Trumaine Johnson, two of your top three corners are free agents this year, so you have to either re-sign or replace them. So corners actually kind of a need for this team.
Yeah, definitely. And like we said, because there are other needs that come before it, you want to get Sam Darnold some weapons. You have to fix that offensive line. And pass rusher has been a need for so long, and there are some good opportunities on the market to fix that. So there are some other needs that you think of before corner, but it's definitely still a need. You only have one of the three starters from last year, and he played 10 games and was not good in those games. So it's still a need. And I think that you could see either one or both of maybe Claiborne and Screen coming back just because the Jets will be more focused on other positions. But at the same time, there are some decent options out there. Both those guys are mediocre and up there in age. So they could definitely look to improve, take a swing on somebody else. And I don't think that outside of those two guys I mentioned, there's anybody out there that I'd feel confident about being an upgrade over Screen or Claiborne. Either of those guys are good players, but they're not awful players. As much hate as Screen gets, he has a few phenomenal games here and there. And overall, slot corner is a really tough position. And Screen, he's penalty prone. He has terrible games here and there, but he's not awful. I think you can do worse than him. And you just look at the market, there really isn't an upgrade at that spot over Screen. And the same goes for the outside spot with Claiborne. He's also not a good player. He's probably below average, but it's just not a strong market at that position. So unless the Jets can get those top two guys, I really think you could see them back. But this is a huge, huge need for this team that gets overlooked a lot.
Ay, ay, ay. Claiborne and Screen, we can't upgrade on that. Oh, man. So anyway, I know our primary focus today is the defensive side of the ball, but I can't let you go without talking offensive line. Just offer us a few thoughts on what you could see the Jets doing up front.
Yeah, I would definitely hope that they go – my number one priority would be going all in on Matt Paradis. This center position, and we've taken it for granted with this team so long. We've had so many great centers, obviously coming off of Nick Mangold a couple of years ago. And the last two seasons, we've learned how spoiled we were. We had Buzzley Johnson in 2017, and then we thought the Jets were prioritizing an upgrade over him with Spencer Long, and he was even worse. So we were really spoiled this position for a long time, and they had a lot of struggles at the spot the last 2 years, and it killed this offense in both of the last 2 years. They've had no run game whatsoever, and this past season, Sam Darnold just had zero shot in multiple games because of how bad Long was with his injuries, just the snapping issues, and completely incompetent run blocking and pass protection. The amount of sacks he gave up last season for that position is just completely ridiculous. So the Jets have really struggled there. I think Paradis, when he's healthy, he's up there in age, and he definitely missed some games last year. But when he's healthy, I think he's a top five center in the league. And his production and his track record, his reputation matches up with that. And you just put on the tape, I think he's versatile. He pass protects well. He run blocks well. I think he can thrive in a man scheme or a zone scheme. He's a good player. He's a really good player, and I think he should be their top priority. So they have to be able to fix this offensive line. So hopefully the Jets on day one make the biggest offer to him. If they don't get him, I think Mitch Morse is a good fallback option. He's a pretty good player also. He's had a lot of injury questions as well. Most free agents do. That's part of the reason most of these guys are free agents. But Mitch Morse is a pretty good player also, if he becomes available. So Paradis would be my number one priority. If they don't get him, definitely fall back to Mitch Morse and try and get him in the building. Beyond that, there aren't really any great options at center. So hopefully the Jets do get one of those two guys, preferably Paradis. I think he's a great player. So hopefully they get one of them too. And then at guard, I think Roger Saffold's probably the clear-cut number one option. He is into his 30s, and definitely he played with the Rams offense. That was really creative, got the quarterback on the move a lot. So you didn't have to really watch him pass protect, but he run blocked really well in that scheme over there. I think he is definitely one of the better guards in the league. Not an all-pro kind of guard, but he's a really good player who you can feel confident is going to come in and make the offensive line better. So hopefully they do make a play for him. Even though he is up there in age, offensive linemen do tend to age pretty well relative to other positions. You do see a lot of guys into their 30s play at high levels on the offensive line. So I'd make a big offer for Saffold as well. Hope they can get him. And then beyond that, there are some decent second-tier options, Quentin Spain from the Titans, and a few other ones. But Saffold and Paradis are definitely the top two names on the market at the guard and center spot. So hopefully they can come up with one. And the dream would be to get both. That's not realistic, but hopefully they can get at least one of those guys and hopefully at least two starters going into the draft. And then in the draft, definitely build a pipeline of guys in the later rounds, maybe on day two, because the Jets do have some older names, Kelvin Beachum, and then with Brian Winters, who isn't old, but definitely has a mediocre track record, injury questions. You want to be able to not have to rely on him, so get him a potential future replacement. So hopefully they emphasize it in the draft, but in free agency, Saffold and Paradis are the two names that I hope that they're really heavily in on, and get at least one of them, specifically Paradis. I want to see that center position fixed.
That's some genius analysis right there, because you've said a lot of the stuff I've been saying these last couple of weeks. So you're welcome back on the show anytime.
Oh yeah, definitely. If I'm saying what you're saying, then I know that my research has been good.
Well, thank you. And thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having me.
And thank you for listening today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, please give it a good review in iTunes. We'll see you tomorrow.